You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means we have an opportunity to visit with our friends from Concordia Historical Institute for Historically Speaking. In studio with me this morning, Todd Zitlow. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio this morning.
Good to be here.
It's did you swim your way over? It's a little muggy out there this morning.
Well, it's been that way for a while, hasn't it?
Todd, I think it's been a while since you and I have had a chance to visit here on His Time, on Historically Speaking. Remind me again a little bit about your work at Concordia Historical Institute.
Well, my title, you know how it is at small institutions. Your job is everything. Archivist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really that means recruiting or, you know, talking to people about potential donors, donations, bringing the materials into the collection, getting them described, getting them organized, getting them cataloged in a way that researchers can find them. And there you go. And another big part of what I've been doing lately is trying to do outreach, trying to promote what archives are and make the case for the importance of an archive.
What are some of the unique things or fun things that you get to work with in archives?
Everything. It's it's interesting. The people who work in archives seem to be a special kind of group of people, but it really is the case. I mean, you just never know what you're going to find when you're going through a collection. Some of the more bizarre things, which aren't maybe particularly important in terms of historical research, but we had a monkey pelt. Just happened to find a monkey pelt sitting around. So,
what was the significance of that?
Well, it was actually quite a nice story once I did some research on it. Lutheran Tract Mission, which I think is Concordia Gospel Outreach now, sends tracts all over the world. And a gentleman, I think it was in Africa, pretty sure West Africa, was so grateful to have received the gospel tracts that he sent as payment a monkey pelt. So that's, pelts were currency in this country for many, many years. Not so common today, but I'm not sure Starbucks would take that.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. But certainly there's a lot of history attached to that. That reminds us of, we haven't always used cash or credit.
Credit. Plastic, yeah. I mean, and the story, behind that item too, that's of course what makes any artifact that we have in our collection important is the story that's attached to it, the life that it, the people who used it and the life that it lived. A lot of our materials are the written documents, which record the events of Lutheranism in North America, but we also have some artifacts that we use for our museum displays.
So next time you're buying that coffee and they ask plastic or pelt, right?
Exactly. It's pelt. Plastic. Sure. Yeah. Maybe you could get a couple. A pelt should be a couple drinks worth.
Well, it depends if it's, a raccoon or
true.
Monkey.
Possum.
Possum, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe a few ounces of water.
It takes us back in time, certainly, to remind us of how our economy functioned. So some of the less bizarre things that you work with.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Bibles today. One of the main questions that, we get many main questions. So one of the questions we get regularly is what do I do with an old Bible? And we receive a large number of old Bibles on a regular basis. I guess if I could give a message out to potential donors with books in particular, please get in touch with Concordia Historical Institute prior to sending them. Our collection is very complete. Most collections I receive nowadays, we only keep maybe 10% of the donated books. That means 80 to 90% of the books are not necessary for our collection any longer. And the cost to ship them is so expensive that we can really save quite a lot of money by contacting us first. Mm-hmm. So get in touch with CHI and let us know what you plan to send us, and we'll let you know what we need. Because really, the donation of the money that is spent for shipping would be a bigger service to CHI than the books generally are. And that's true for Bibles as well. I know it's a strange thing to say, don't send us your Bibles. But I want to talk a little bit about why is that the case that Bibles, first of all, we have over 1,200.
Is that all?
Yeah, I went through yesterday and I counted them up personally so I can give you some pretty good numbers. And that would be the minimum number we have. We have Bibles in other parts of our building as well. But 1,200, that's, you know, the text of the Bible is pretty well firmly established. There's not a lot of questions about it. And the Bibles aren't going to be an item that gets researched particularly often. The thing about an archive that to me makes it special is that there's materials in every archive that exist nowhere else. There's only one item of that item, and it exists at that particular archive. And for CHI, that's North American Lutheranism. And there's most of our collection are items that exist nowhere else. That's not true of the Bible necessarily, although if it's in a particular language or if it was owned by a particular person or if it has margin notes in it by a particular theologian, that would set it apart. And just to talk a little bit more, so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why, I mean, while we do collect Bibles, obviously, we have 1,200 mm-hmm. plus, we've come to a point where maybe another option is available for a donor. Some of the aspects of the Bibles that we have whole Bibles, the entire book of the Bible in at least 30 languages. I brought in a sheet today that lists some of those, and it's, you know, it really is, it's impressive, I mean, to look at the ways in which the Bible has reached out into the global community.
How many of them can you read?
One. And even that, the Old English, I would struggle with some of the Old English too, I think. So, yeah, I'm not a very good linguist. got through my Greek and Hebrew, but barely. Yeah.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. So, and then we also have partial Bibles in at least 60 additional languages in addition to the 30 that we have whole Bibles in. And I'm sure it's more than that.
Some of these languages I've never even heard of before.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I think like Guambiano. It's a very small subsect. It's number 45 there. It's a small subcultural group in, I think, South America. That's true of Quebeco as well. Edgegam, I think, is an African dialect. I mean, some nations in Africa and I think India, I mean, it could be in the hundreds mm-hmm. of languages that exist in that nation alone, and separate dialects. And of course, in many cases, they were never written until missionaries came to those areas.
That would be my guess. Many of these that are in languages that I don't even recognize probably are the result of some of our missionaries through
Absolutely.
Lutheran Bible translators and
Absolutely.
Similar organizations.
And that's why we have them. Mm-hmm. They came to us through the Department of Missions here at Synod after, a church reorganized or whatever, and they sent it over to us. And that's, of course, very important for us to document the ongoing activity of God's people. So one of the questions that comes up with a Bible is, what do I do with it then? You know, when it's an old Bible, it's starting to get torn or worn out, or the family isn't using that particular copy anymore. Mm-hmm. It might be in German or a different language that isn't spoken in the home anymore. What do you do with it? What's a proper way of disposing or taking care of a Bible? And it's a question that comes out of people's concern for the proper handling of the Word of God.
Sure.
I mean, and that's a very good and important. I mean, I think that says a lot about the nature of Lutherans in general, that there's that high respect for the written word. And so there's a question about it. But unfortunately, there isn't one clear answer. Certainly the Bible itself doesn't talk about itself in that way. In terms of how do you dispose of these texts mm-hmm. after they have been passed around. That's just not a topic that comes up. And even the church, I think, throughout history hasn't settled on one particular way of disposing. But there's some that people do use. And there's some options, I think, for people that aren't disposing of it. There's ways to continue the life of a Bible. So first one I'm going to talk about is you could retain it. You know, if you have genealogical information in your Bible, it's a family Bible, it has a couple of generations, the birth dates, baptisms, weddings that are recorded in it, make sure to retain that information. If you're not going to retain the Bible itself, retain that information. If we get a Bible and it has some of that information in it, we retain that information, even if we don't retain the Bible. So that's one consideration. And I mean, in the end, the Bible, its primary purpose is to be used, to be read, to be preached from, to be studied, to be meditated on. Right. And so let's find a way we can maybe keep that Bible engaged in that active use. So a way you can do that is you could, you know, give it to somebody else, give it to a neighbor, bring it to the church maybe, and see if there's a, you have a Bible drive, and you can pass the Bibles out into your community or send them to a jail or other facilities that are mm-hmm. locally. There's even some national organizations that do collect Bibles and then send them globally. I found a page called BibleFoundation.org. I don't know anything about them, but they have collection centers around the country, and then they send Bibles out. Now, they have to be still in usable condition for that to be the case, but so that's another option. You know, you can retain it. You could share it with someone in your own community. You could donate it to an agency that sends it around globally. I know when I traveled to West Africa myself for a very brief visit, you know, having access to theological materials and especially the Bible is important, that they don't have the same kind of access to the Word of God that we have in this country. I mean, it shows up in almost every hotel room. You know, and that's not the case in the global community. And so if you can find a way to get it to those agencies or our missions around the world, more power to you. I hope you can do that. Now, if you do come to a point of actually needing to dispose of it, the way I would say that I found on the internet that was most accepted was to bury it. Take your Bible and bury it in the ground somewhere. There was even a story of a person, I think it was in the Northeast, where they had a book drive at their church, and they would end up with dozens of Bibles. And so that's what he would do. He would bury them in mass, on the property there. There was some other support for burning them, although there was probably just as much angst against burning them. So I'm not going to make that as a recommendation. Another possibility is that you could, what's called upcycle today, you could use some of the materials that are in the book, in the Bible, to frame, say, take out the first chapter of a particular book, of certain verses. I mean, you could even cut out individual verses and include those in things that you send to people, little notes here and there, make a framed object in your house. So that would be another option. And then you could also recycle it. I mean, there may be some resistance to that. It may feel odd to handle a Bible in that way. But, you know, again, there's no biblical admonition against something like that. And I think for me, that would be a responsible option as well. So, I mean, in the end, you know, when I look at the Bible, the importance of the Bible isn't in the ink. It's not in the paper, the glue, the leather, the cover. You know, it's in the living and active Word of God. And I certainly want to respect anyone's desires to treat it properly and to dispose of it properly. Let's keep our focus on the Word of God and the spoken and proclaimed Word of God. And once a Bible's been used, it can move on.
Sure. We can, or as you pointed out earlier, you can find another use for it, continue to use it, share it with someone else, or use it as a piece for art as well, as you pointed out that you can use the first chapter, the first page of a chapter of a particular book for art as well.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your collection of Bibles at CHI around 1,200.
1,200, yeah. It's probably a few hundred more than that.
But. Well, I found something that rivals it just a little bit.
Oh, this is interesting.
Have you heard of the Museum of the Bible?
I haven't.
Opening in 2017 in Washington, D.C., more than 40,000 objects in their Bible collection. Now, this in artifacts, I should say. So this is not just Bibles or partial Bibles, but also other biblical artifacts included in this collection. The Museum of the Bible opening in Washington, D.C. in 2017.
Interesting. Yeah, you just looked that up online while we were talking here.
I knew that they had a very large collection there, and I wanted to know what the number, how large the collection was going
to
be.
Now I'm going to have to go back and start counting again.
Yeah, check it out. See, I think we're going to have to make a field trip.
I'm all for field trips. Maybe they could come to us and we could
show
them what we have.
They do have some traveling exhibits as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
see if maybe they'll come visit us here at CHI in St. Louis.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, in fact, if you're a local, come by CHI. We have rotating visits. You come by the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have a permanent museum here at the International Center. I was going to highlight this ongoing effort by Synod to celebrate the Reformation next year in 2017. The website's called LutheranReformation.org. Concordia Historical Institute is one of the agencies that are developing materials for that website. We are developing bulletin inserts for your congregations. They can be used on a weekly basis or on a biweekly basis. There's Bible studies attached, and they're called Faces of the Reformation, and it looks at various personages, people from the Reformation time, and then focuses on Bible studies surrounding that. Again, that's LutheranReformation.org, and there's many other resources. CHI's participating in a couple of them, but there's many more. In fact, I just noticed yesterday there's a trailer for the Luther movie that's coming out on PBS next year. So resources that are coming out to celebrate 2017.
Did you sing the Reformation rock song?
I didn't see that? I didn't. No. Is that on that page also?
It is.
Oh.
From Lost and Found.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I only saw the trailer, and I posted that to our page.
But yeah.
Lutheran Reformation, stop by CHI if you're interested in doing any history. Our webpage is ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. Our phone number is 715-505-7900. We have an active Facebook page as well. If you just type in Lutheran History on Facebook, I post to that a couple of days a week and try to keep you up on some interesting aspects in the area of Lutheran history. We have our awards program. Each year we give out awards of commendation in the area of Lutheran history in North America, and that's coming out in November, so you can keep an eye out for that. If you're local here in St. Louis, you can come to the celebration, meet the authors, hear a speaker share some ideas and thoughts, and enjoy an evening with a nice meal. That's coming up in November. And it's also encourage you to just become a member of CHI. Of course, all the entities of Synod are constantly looking for support, and CHI is no different. And we'd be more than glad to have you come on board with Concordia Historical Institute as a member, or even as a director circle supporter, which is $100 a month. So we'd glad to have your support in any way.
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org is the place to check it out.
Yep.
And looking forward to a new exhibit coming out in February, is that right?
2017 on the Reformation.
Yeah, come check it out. And if you're planning on making a trip to St. Louis or live here in the St. Louis area, go visit CHI at the seminary campus or the museum here at the International Center located in Kirkwood. Todd, always great to chat with you. Thanks for coming over and spending some time with us here on His Time and Historically Speaking.
Historically Speaking.
Coming up in just a little bit, Morning Prayer. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.